their uses are particularly important in a lot of defense applications. They're also very important in emerging clean technologies, which are, you know, the Obama administration has identified as an area of important economic growth for the country. And also, there's not substitutes for them right now. Most of these rare earths have very specific properties that allow them to maintain a permanent magnetic field, things like that. We don't have substances that can easily replace them if we lose access or the market grows too tight for these.
And the importance of these came into play this past month when China threatened to ease off its exports of rare earths to Japan in a diplomatic dispute. How strong is this as a diplomatic tool?
I think it's increasingly important, again, because there lack substitutes. But when tensions are tight between different countries and when there's a really high demand for them within the exporting country, you know, there are really clear political reasons to reduce exports or to withhold export shipments of these and to keep them for your domestic use. And what's driving, in part, China's actions is that their demand for these is going through the roof as they move into producing and manufacturing wind turbines and solar panels and clean technology in their own country. Part of what needs to happen, obviously, is growing supply side, and that will help to reduce any leverage that any given exporting country has.
The U.S. Congressional Government Accountability Office has estimated that it would take about 15 years to revive the U.S. rare earth supply chain. 15 years is a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
That makes us seem very vulnerable.
Yes. Luckily, there's an Australian mine that's going to come online sooner. The Japanese Prime Minister, Khan, met with the Mongolian Prime Minister over the weekend to discuss Japanese firms investing in ramping up some rare earth production in Mongolia and hopefully hastening the process. But it's going to be a while, and that is definitely a concern.
Oil has spurred armed conflicts for the race for this resource. Do rare earths have that potential as well?
Oh, I don't think so, which is a very, very good thing. These natural resource issues, the way they manifest is that it's not always outright conflict, certainly not usually interstate conflict, but it becomes a real thorn in the side on foreign policy. It can do economic damage to different countries. What the United States is going to need to consider, obviously, is finding substitutes where it's possible, if it is possible for certain of them. It needs to revisit its stockpiling policies. It needs to make sure that it has good relations with the private sector and with international businesses involved with its defense industry supply chains.
It's estimated there are at least 6,000 researchers and experts who focus on rare earths in China, while we have about 20 here. It seems like we've got quite a ways to go before we really get a hold on this.
Many fewer. But I would add to that, though, that our private sector and U.S. businesses are really involved in this.
So basically, the Department of Defense might not have a full grasp on it, but private companies do.
Right. With the privatization and the globalization of the defense supply lines, this kind of information sort of got out of hand and we didn't really have a good grasp on it. It's a big problem, but it's one that Congress has ordered the Department of Defense to get on top of. They instructed DOD to go through all of their systems and everything they procure and all of their assets and really survey how they use rare earths